stories are many regarding lives lost with COVID-19. And for too many, they're numbers. And that's it. But these numbers have names, lives, and legacies behind them. If you go, there's a website, Mourning America, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, America.org. When you go to that page, you'll see on the homepage just the most recent faces and names and stories that have been posted. It's a website where you can post someone's story who has passed away from the coronavirus. You can also look up by state and attach that important name in life to that number that you keep hearing. Certainly, too, if there is someone in your life, family member, friend, coworker, who you've lost due to this demon virus, you can include them on this website. Again, it's Mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, mourningamerica.org. And with that concept in mind, I want to tell you about the story about Howard Cognac, who was a resident at the Menlo Park Veterans Home. He called his daughter Tanya on April 3rd and had to leave voicemail. This was a courtesy of a report from NorthJersey.com. Hi, T, it's me. It's 11 o'clock, I think. We have a lockdown in our squad bay, so I can't use the phone too much. Cognac, by the way, he had served in the Marine Corps 6 decades ago. According to his family, he rarely cried, but on this call, on this voicemail, his voice did start to break up, saying, I'm worried, honey. I'll talk to you if I can later on. I think I have one of the symptoms. I love you, honey. If anything happens to me, I miss you so much, and Bobby and the dog. Bye, honey. I'll talk to you, hopefully, later. Mr. Cognac died 2 weeks later, supposedly from respiratory failure. At least that's what it says on his death certificate. Mr. Cognac was never counted among the 62 coronavirus deaths at Menlo Park, which is one of the two state-run veteran homes that were inundated with COVID-19. And like so many at the home, Mr. Cognac never received a COVID-19 test. His family asked for it as his condition worsened, but they were told by the staff, no fever, no test. And it's even as his blood oxygen levels just plummeted. And now we know, too, with a better understanding, especially in light of a certain recent COVID patient, how blood oxygen levels are a critical key to a diagnosis. But now Mr. Cognac may be counted among the 39 probable COVID-19 deaths at Menlo Park. And the State Department of Health released last week, I mentioned this to you, too. This was a list that was made by state workers that went through death certificates, medical records, the people who died during the recent months and whose symptoms were similar to those infected by the coronavirus. So that would bring the number of COVID-19 related deaths at Menlo Park to 101, which is a third of the resident population. At least that's what it was at the time the pandemic started. And that now has the highest death toll reported at any New Jersey nursing home. The New Jersey Division of Military Veteran Affairs, who runs the home, is not commenting anymore on individual cases. Of course, they're saying because it's of the pending lawsuits that they're facing. Indeed, they are. Well, we've come to learn about Mr. Cognac's story and that of many others. The staff at the facility was just totally unprepared in the basics of infection control. There was actually pressure from management on staff to not wear face masks in the early days because they didn't want to scare or worry the patients. And the system that they had in place just collapsed from the impact of the number of infections and deaths among residents and staff as well. Last time Mr. Cognac's daughter Tanya saw him was on March 11th. They had lunch together. They made plans to bring some of his paintings. He was an artist, and he was wanting to start an art class at the Veterans Center. So they're going to bring some of his paintings in for an art show at the home. But 2 days later, the home went on lockdown. Visitors were barred from coming in. At Paramus, federal inspectors found infection control procedures were lax at best. Examples of that, they were letting residents in the dementia unit gather around more than a month into the pandemic, even though at least one resident that they know of at that time had a positive COVID test. Mr. Cognac did speak to his daughter Tanya and son-in-law multiple times each day, told them that neither the staff, the residents, even delivery persons who came into the facility, none of them wearing masks. Told you about the voicemail he left. Said there was no one around to help him to even go to the bathroom. Because staffers had taken away his mobility chair, and he was just lying there in his bed. Mr. Carniak did not answer his cell phone when Tanya got the voicemail and tried to call him back April 7th. Tanya and her husband learned that Mr. Carniak was having trouble breathing. His blood oxygen levels dropped, and he was being placed on oxygen. They asked the nurse if his roommate had COVID-19. Nurses said, can't answer that. Family asked for a COVID-19 test, but, right, no fever, no test. Same day, a social worker used her personal cell phone to set up a call with Mr. Carniak. He had trouble speaking. Tiny Rob told him that they loved him. He was a tough Marine, that they would see him soon. Those were the last words that they ever spoke to him. They couldn't get in touch with the nurses for updates on his condition. They had promises about video phone calls with FaceTime. They never came about. After trying for days to get anyone who can update them on their father's condition, some guy answered the phone on April 11th at the nurse's station in the Eagle Wing saying, Pal's Cabin. Yeah, that's someone obviously thinking they're joking around, because that's a joint in West Orange. That was pretty famous, closed a whole bunch of years earlier. Guy was actually a resident, and when Tanya said she was looking for a nurse, he responded, me too, good luck. A few days later, they did get through to a nurse practitioner, said how his health was failing, he had heart failure. They asked for a COVID-19 test, but he got it, no fever, no test. April 16th, they called multiple times. They finally got through to a nurse's station. Staff member said someone would call them back because they were busy. Well, they did, a short time later, to inform Tanya that her father had passed away. Well, they did. The hospital, the facility did have a change of heart. They were really rapid on the phone calls, and because less than an hour later, they called to ask when Mr. Carniak's body would be picked up and what funeral home was handling his remains. When the funeral director did go to pick up the body, even at that point, no one on the staff were wearing face masks. They finally did track down the family of Howard's roommate, and their suspicion turned out to be right. They found out the roommate died April 5th of COVID-19. It was just a little more than a week before Tanya's father's death, which makes you question whether the center even tested Howard's roommate for COVID-19. I reminded you before, too, that even though the promises have been many, the State House and the Democrats have yet to form that investigative committee regarding nursing homes, veteran centers, and the coronavirus in New Jersey. Maybe Mr. Carniak's story is one of the reasons why. There are just some people who don't want this horror of a reality to be known to you. But even without the investigations, slowly but surely, it is becoming known to you. And I hope you'll continue to press, urge, push, drag your legislator down Trenton to make these hearings possible. Make them happen. These families deserve better than what they're getting.